Chapter 11. The Truth No One Told You About Adult Friendship. Let's be honest. Adult friendship is hard. Every single person I know is struggling with adult friendships, whether it's creating them, losing them, or even just finding the time to keep friendships going. If you've gotten to a point in your life where you're wondering, where did all my friends go? You're not alone. Perhaps you feel like you have no friends. Or maybe you're in a different phase of life than the people you were once close with. Maybe you find yourself getting caught up in dumb drama or waiting for someone else to reach out or just feeling unsure about where you stand. Or you feel like everybody else's life is a big party that you're missing out on. You want better friendships. You just don't know where to find them. I've struggled with this too. And in this section, you and I are going to tackle adult friendship, which up until now, you've been approaching the same way you did as a kid. You just expected friendship to happen. And because of this, your friendships aren't what they could be. Here's the truth. Friendship changes dramatically when you become an adult, and no one sees this coming. That's why you need to use the let them theory to take control of this area of your life. Friendship is one of the best and most meaningful aspects of the human experience. You deserve to have amazing friendships in your life. Friends are awesome. They make your life more fun and fulfilling, and they can even become the family you've chosen for yourself. Now, the reason why it's hard to navigate adult friendship is that when you reach your 20s, friendship changes from a group sport to an individual one, and no one understands this. When you don't recognize that this change has happened, and no one does, you don't change your approach to adult friendship, which is why you end up feeling so lonely. And you're also going to find it challenging to stay connected to people that you do love in an increasingly busy and distracted world. As you grow and change and move jobs and cities and fall in and out of love, you're going to be constantly confronted with this challenge of finding your people in new places and in new chapters of your life. We all have to. The Let Them Theory will help you understand adult friendship at a deeper level. And it will empower you to strengthen existing friendships and set you up to meet your most favorite people in your life, many of whom you haven't even met yet. How cool is that? So you're probably wondering, what changes, Mel, when you reach your 20s? Great question. Let's talk about the difference between friendship when you were a kid and friendship when you're an adult. When you were little, you and your friends and your classmates, you felt like a team. You moved through life at the exact same pace and in the exact same place. From kindergarten to high school, you and your friends had the exact same daily routine. You rode the same buses. You read the same books. You learned the same subjects in school. You saw everyone your age all the time. In class, in the halls, on the sports fields, in your neighborhood. You also had the same milestones. From birthdays to graduations to the exact same vacation schedule, you participated in the same clubs, activities, sports, and classes, which made you feel subconsciously like there was a big group of people moving through life with you, and you were a part of it. This is why it felt like friendship was a group sport. Why? Because everybody travels in groups. And that is simply what you did when you were younger. So if you really stop and think about the first 20 years of your life, the structure of friendship was already planned for you by your parents, the school system, sports teams, college dormitories, fraternities and sororities, extracurricular activities. All of these things made it easy for you to be around people your same age, going through very similar experiences at the exact same time. And this is important. Because it was not only easy to make friends when you were little, but you were spending so much time together with people your age and sharing so many experiences that you also had everything in place to create really deep friendships. And the reason why it felt like more of a group sport when you were little was that if you were part of a team or part of a friend group or in a club, you expected to be invited. Whether it was to the pasta dinner or the sleepover or the tryout or to go see a friend in the opening night of the play, your childhood trained you to believe that friendship would be easy and that you'd be around people your age and friends all the time and that something fun was always going to be happening. And then, boom, you enter your 20s and into a phase of friendship that I call the Great Scattering. The Great Scattering looks like this. High school or college ends, and all your friends scatter in different directions. Suddenly, everyone's living in different places, and very soon, all of your friends are on different timelines, they're working different jobs, they're hanging out with different people, they're achieving milestones at different paces, and the entire structure that supported all of your friendships, whoosh, gone. That's why you feel this tremendous loss of control about every aspect of your life. There's no longer a track, a template, a timeline, or milestones for what to do next or when you're supposed to achieve it. It's all up to you. In other words, your adult life begins. And for the first time in your life, you're officially on your own. And it's entirely up to you to choose how you want to spend your time, where you want to work, what city you want to live in, and who you're going to hang out with. And as time passes, those close friends of yours that move to a different city, they start to feel further and further away. No one has any free time, and trying to coordinate everyone's calendars to get together feels impossible. And what's holding your friend group from college together is a text chain that gets quieter and quieter over time. Naturally, everyone's concentrating on living their lives and focused on the people who are right in front of them. And this is when loneliness really hits. And boy, does it hit in your mid-20s. This is when adult friendship gets hard. Because the structure that created the opportunity to see your friends 24/7 and the expectation that you would see them, it disappears. And then you start to wonder, where did all my friends go? You may start to feel out of control. You may cling or feel insecure or feel like you're falling behind. And that makes you just grip on even harder to the friends that you used to have. The reality is adult friendships come and they go. Expecting friendship will destroy it. You have to have a more flexible and proactive approach, which is why you're going to find yourself saying, let them and let me all the time. Let them move away. Let them prioritize their new friends. Let them not have time for me. Let them not text me back. Let them not include me. Let them go to brunch without me. Look, it happens to all of us, but it can still be incredibly confusing and disorienting when it happens to you. And so I'm going to say this over and over, now and forever onward. It's up to you to change the way you think about and approach friendship as an adult, because the Great Scattering, it's already happened. And versions of this scattering will continue to happen over and over as you get older. See, when your single friends get married, they scatter. When your friends start having kids, they scatter. When people move out of the city and into the suburbs, they scatter. When people become empty nesters or get divorced, they scatter. When people get older or downsize or retire or go through a loss, they scatter. It's going to happen again and again and again in your life and with your friends. This is normal. This is why you need the Let Them Theory. It's going to teach you how to be more flexible in the way you see friendship and show you how to use your time wisely to create some of the very best friendships of your entire life. And that brings me to the three pillars of friendship. There are three factors that I believe make great friendships possible. And those three factors are proximity, timing, and energy. These three pillars, proximity, timing, and energy, are the invisible foundation every friendship is built on. When friends drift away, fall apart, or lose touch, it's because one or more of these three essential pillars is missing. And most of the time, adult friendships fade, not for personal reasons, but because of these three pillars, proximity, timing, and energy. Understanding the role that these three factors play It's going to help you use the let them theory to be more flexible, understanding, and proactive in your adult friendships. I'm so excited for you as I think about this, because your whole life is about to change using this approach. So let's talk about the first pillar of friendship, and that's proximity. Proximity means, how often are you physically near someone? This matters because when you're physically near someone, you naturally spend a lot of time together. And if you don't live near someone, you're not going to see each other as often. And it's going to require way more effort to stay connected. You can absolutely do it and should. It's just harder. And that's why it's easy to grow closer to people you see all the time. This isn't just common sense. This is a well-researched fact. This concept of proximity has been researched and proven to impact who you become friends with and who you don't. And the reason why this matters so much is because the more times you see someone in person, the more opportunities you have to get to know them, to spend time with them, to share experiences together, and to click and form a deeper friendship. There's this really interesting study at the University of Kansas where they studied friendship. And check this out, to become a casual friend with someone, how many hours do you think you need to spend with them? 74 hours. According to the research, to become a close friend, you have to spend over 200 hours with someone. So let's take this research and put it in the context of friendships when you're younger and how they change when you become an adult. So in high school, you clock 200 hours with your friends every 5 to 6 weeks. In college, you spent even more time with your friends because you lived with them. You ate every meal with them. You spent every weekend with them. This proximity allowed you the time to fortify your connections and share infinite experiences and memories that allowed you to build trust in your relationships. If you're physically next to someone, whether you're living across the street or in the dorm room or across the hall or sitting at the desk or the cubicle next to them or seeing them every weekend at your kid's soccer game, you naturally spend time together. Why? Because of proximity. This matters. And it matters a lot. It also explains why it was so much easier to create friends when you were younger. You were physically next to people your age all the time. Proximity also explains why, as an adult, when everyone scatters and is suddenly on a different schedule, why it's so hard to make new friends. Because getting 200 hours with someone, that's a lot of time. And get this, when you're an adult, you don't have as much free time as you did when you were younger to hang out. Why? Because you're working. According to the American Time Study, scientists found that from the age of 21 to 60, you will spend more time with your coworkers than with your family and friends combined, which means your only chance to hang out with your friends is after work or on the weekends. Just think of how many coffee dates, walks, and barbecues it's going to take to get 200 hours with a new adult friend. And it also makes you wonder, if proximity matters so much, why are you not automatically best friends with all of your coworkers, since that's who you spend most of your time with? Well, that brings me to the second pillar of friendship, and that's timing. Timing refers to the chapter of life that you're in right now. If you're not in the same chapter of life with someone else, it's much harder to relate to them because you have less in common. And nowhere is the impact of timing more evident than how it impacts friendships with coworkers. As you just learned, from the ages of 21 to 60, you're going to spend more time with your coworkers than your friends and family combined. But here's the catch. Everyone at work is in a different chapter of their life. That means for over 4 decades of your life, the majority of people at work who you spend the most physical time with are not in the same period of their life as you are. For example, if everyone you work with is 40 years older than you, it can be kind of hard to relate. You know, one of my daughters would always share that she would be on these team meetings at work, and the question of the day would be something like, where did you get married? Or what do you want to do when you retire? She felt like she had to lie about her life every Monday morning when everyone was sharing what they did with their kids over the weekend, while she had gotten drunk with her girlfriends and thrown up in a garbage can on the way home. I mean, this is why the timing of your life matters. because despite spending so much time with her coworkers and being really friendly with them and liking a lot of them, they were in very different stages of life. It's why they never hung out on the weekends. It's why they never went out to dinner after work. They had nothing in common other than work. I can give you another example of how timing impacts your friendships. Chris and I have family friends that we love. I mean, we love these two. I think they are so cool. I love hanging out with them, but we're 15 years younger than they are, and they are grandparents. We have so much less to talk about because we're in very different stages of our lives. Are we still friends? Of course. Absolutely. But that friendship is only going to go so deep because we don't live near them, so we don't see them a lot. There's proximity, and the timing's off. We're in very different stages of life. And you know what I love about understanding these three pillars of friendship is that it makes you realize none of this is personal. Friendships come and go. You can feel very close with someone, and then you can feel distant. And none of this is personal. It's proximity and timing. And the Let Them Theory really helped me loosen my grip on adult friendship, and it's going to help you do the same. Because the more you grow in your life, the more people are going to come in and out of your life. Let them. When you stop expecting to have everyone be your best friend or to be invited to everything or to be included in everything or that you will just click with everyone, friendship gets a lot easier and a lot more fun. There is an entirely different way to view adult friendship using the Let Them Theory, and it will make your life so much more fun, fulfilling, healthy, and happy. And that brings me to the third pillar of friendship, which is energy. You either click with some people or you don't. You can't explain it, and neither can they, but you got to trust it. The energy is either on or it's off. There's no scientific reason to explain it. You just have to go with it. And here's another hard truth. Energy shifts over time. Sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better. And that's a good thing, because it means that you and the people in your life are growing into new versions of yourselves. For example, maybe you lived with five friends during college and you loved them and you clicked and it was one of the best experiences of your life. And then two of you move in together after you graduate. And within 4 months, something just feels off. This is normal. It means you're both growing and changing. And it doesn't mean, by the way, that the friendship is over. I think a big mistake that we make is that we start to obsess over what's wrong instead of just focusing on acceptance, kindness, and admiration for the other person. Just because you were best friends during one stage of your life doesn't mean that you're going to be best friends during the next stage. Let them. In fact, while we're on the topic, I actually hate the term best friend. And the reason why is it puts too much pressure and expectation on a relationship that will always need room to grow and evolve. As people come in and out of your life, as the energy shifts, let them. Trust the timing. I love this saying about friendship, that there are certain people who are meant to be in your life for a season, there are people who are meant to be in your life for a specific reason, and there are people who will be with you for your lifetime. This is normal. And when someone drifts away or the energy feels off, don't make them your enemy. You can tell when a friendship is forced and the energy is changing because it starts to drain you. You start to feel like something's off or the conversation is just forced. Trust that feeling. And I'm telling you this because I learned the hard way that gripping onto something and trying to force it, it just makes things way worse. And we do tend to hold on to things that we know deep down are not meant for us, don't we? Because we know the second we stop forcing it, the relationship's probably going to fade. And that's exactly what happened to me. All of a sudden, I found myself on the outside of what I thought was my closest friend group. I didn't know what to do. And I definitely did not handle it well.